time well invested in the presence of the Lord. Usually I would preach for an hour 30 minutes and sometimes an hour 10 minutes, and it's always a struggle to stop. Somebody asked me, why do you always struggle to stop? I said, because he that heareth continually, speaketh continually, because you keep hearing. But this morning I'll try and keep it, I will try, by the help of God, keep it a little bit shorter, maybe about 45 minutes. Let the church say amen. Amen. Because we're going to take the communion. So I really don't want to go on and on and on and on. However, it's healing service. It's our communion service. Actually, every service is healing service. It's our communion Sunday. Whatever situation is in your life that is plaguing you, I want you to, we'll get some time to pray, and I want you to be very aggressive when you pray. Mark this. Sickness is the offspring of Satan, his father, and sin, his mother. Every sickness, every disease, regardless of medical explanations, is the offspring of Satan, his father, and sin, its mother. You would recall in Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, that the body of man never knew sickness until sin came into play. So sin is the mother of sickness. Until Adam did that which God asked him to not do, his body never knew sickness. The human body was created by God to heal itself. That's why even up until now, when you have a cut in your hand or your leg and you wash it with water, under normal circumstances, if it's not too deep and too, you know, whatever, just a little cut, if you wash it with water and then leave it, it will begin to heal itself over time. But the problem arises where maybe tetanus gets into it and some microbes and all of that, and then it festers. And if it doesn't get healed on time, there is a spiritual dimension that gets into it. It is called the spirit of infirmity. We've read that in the Bible time and time again. And there was a woman, as Jesus was teaching in the temple, a woman with the spirit of infirmity. That is another dimension of sickness. When sickness is taken up by the forces of hell. That's why you see people that have wounds that will not heal. In medicine, they can call it diabetes. They can say it's because the person has too much sugar in their blood. So maybe it's diabetes mellitus or diabetes insipidus. But the truth of the matter is, when you have a wound that will not go away, there is a spirit of infirmity that is already in oppression. There are actually about five categories of sicknesses and diseases that Jesus dealt with. But that's not our focus for today. There were people that had mental health issues. And thankfully, in the world today, people are beginning to be aware of mental health. Back in the day, people were pretty not much aware. And some people didn't even preach about it. There are people in church who are depressed. Everybody's praising God, jumping up and down, and they just can't find a reason to rejoice because they are depressed. Psychology has an explanation for that. I did a bit of psychology, so I know. They have explanation for depression and all kinds of disorders. But there's a spiritual angle. There's a spiritual dimension to it. I saw that in Isaiah 61. When Isaiah said from verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the good news. Now, glad tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound. Next verse. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Move on. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. It's not very palatable to have those who mourn in Zion. Zion represents the church. It is upon Mount Zion that the blessing is decreed and proclaimed, according to Psalm 133 and verse 3. Zion. When we come to Zion, the Bible says that we go from strength to strength. Every one of them that appears in Zion. But it will shock you that there are people who come to Zion, but then they are depressed. They mourn in Zion. Now, but what is the purpose of the anointing? It says to give unto them beauty for ashes. Ashes have no value. You can't go to the supermarket and then you pick some items, some groceries, and then it's time for payment. You give them ashes. You're not going anywhere. You can't go to a car shop and get a new car and then they say, time for payment, and then you give them ashes. Ashes have no value. You can't build a house with ashes. As a matter of fact, ashes is a symptom that you used to have something. Only one person got that right. See the clothes you're wearing this morning. Very nice. Designer. You bought it in a store. Maybe designer store. You bought it for whatever amount you bought it. But then all of a sudden something just happened. You decided to burn it. When you burn it, what do you have? Whatever burns in this world, whether it's a building, whether it's a car, whether it's electronics, whether it's your phone, whatever burns turns to ashes. Ashes is a symbol that you used to have the real McCoy, the real stuff. So there were people who used to have the real stuff in Zion. But now they don't have the real stuff anymore. What they have is the shadow of what they used to have. They used to have joy. Now they have depression. They used to be married. Now they are divorced. They used to be very fruitful in their business. Now there is no customer, no client. They used to have a job. Now they are jobless. And they are in Zion. But that is not supposed to be the picture of Zion. That's why the anointing must be there. He has anointed me for a purpose. I'm a man on a mission. And so he said, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Depression is that spirit of heaviness. It's a spirit. It's not a psychological state of mind. Depression is a spirit. The earlier you treat it that way, the better for you. The earlier you understand the dynamics of the spirit world, the better aware you become of the spirit world, the better you are as a believer, because you can deal with things from the root. You are not cutting the leaves. You are going to the root to uproot it. To uproot it. You lay the axe to the root of the tree, and every tree that my father has not planted must be uprooted. Can I have an amen to that? Up till today, some people still define fear as a feeling. The feeling you feel when you have goose pimples. The feeling that produces goosebumps. The feeling of fear. I understand the feeling of fear, but fear itself is not a feeling. Fear is a person. Fear is a spirit. The Bible makes it very clear to us in Romans 8 and verse 15 that we have not been given the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, Paul was writing to Timothy, who was going through a turbulent time in his ministry at the time. The church under Timothy... Timothy was a young pastor, like me. I mean, a whole lot of young pastors we have in Nigeria today, glory be to God. Thank God for young people going into ministry. And his ministry was booming. His ministry was doing well. But there was a persecution from the government of the day, such that they were actually seeing Christians, picking them up, apprehending them, and killing them. And so Timothy was having to bury his church members, and he was the pastor of the largest church at that time. It got to a point that Timothy felt, look, being the pastor of the mega church of the day, he himself was the number one target. He could hardly get out of his house. And his house was in the city, built by the roadside. He could hardly get out of his house. It was in this state of mind that Timothy wrote a letter to Paul, who was in prison, his father in the Lord. Look, if you want to go farther, you need a father over your life. Fathers provide feathers for you to fly. and to ride on. A time comes in your life. I pity you if your father is an online father. I really pity you. A father who doesn't know you. Because we have a whole lot of rascality in this generation. You know, your pastor doesn't mean anything to you, but there is one somewhere in another country. That's my father in the Lord. When you have trouble at 3 a.m., you don't even have his phone number, you don't have his email address. It is not scriptural. In fact, Paul said, I think in 1 Corinthians 4:15, he said, even though you may have 10,000 instructors in Christ, which is not bad, you may have many people because there are different ministry gifts. Everybody emphasizing what God has given them. And that's why you don't judge the ministry of one person based on the ministry of another person, because God has given each man a different area of emphasis in the same Bible. Ministry gift, W.F. Kumuyi. That man preaches holiness, is a Puritan to the core. He's been preaching holiness before I was born. Till today, the preaching of Papa W.F. Kumuyi has not changed. The man is over 80, ministering every day, waxing stronger. The man is an amazement. That's the founder of Deeper Life Christian Church. Pastor E. Adeboye has a different emphasis. But they are doing ministry. And they are having results. And all the other generals of faith that we have. But Paul said, even though you have 10,000 instructors, he said you have only one father. He said, I became your father, for ye have not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Because I feed you with the word of God, I have given birth to you through the gospel. So when trouble came, Timothy wrote to his father. And when you get home, I want you to read 2 Timothy chapter 1. Read, study, and meditate on it from the beginning to the end. You will understand the spirit with which that letter was written. Paul didn't tell us much of the content of Timothy's letter, but he made a reference to that letter. Timothy actually drenched that letter with his tears. He was becoming despondent. He was becoming hopeless. Everything looked dark because he didn't know when they would come for his head. It's like they tell you DSS has surrounded your church. The next day, it is SSS. Another time, it's the police. Another time, soldiers. They're surrounding your church every time. You come under a threat. And you know, the government is very powerful. The government of any nation is very powerful. After God is the government. If the government of your state says no church is opening today, guess what? We'll have church online. If the government for any reason comes to seal up this building, we will not have church until we go to see the government to settle the matter. Are you with me? In fact, do you know that if a baby is born and the government denies that that baby is not born, even though you can see the baby, how can the government deny? If the government refuses to give the parents what they call a birth certificate, that child is not born. If you go to the German embassy to apply for visa, they ask for your birth certificate. If you have lost it, they ask for an affidavit. Are you getting what I'm saying? Am I speaking German? If you apply to school for admission and one of the criteria is to have your birth certificate and you don't have a birth certificate, you rush to go and do a sworn affidavit. But then they say, you can't do it because the government has said that you, in particular, nobody should ever give you a sworn affidavit. You are not born. You are just existing. Because you can't make an international passport with that, you can't travel overseas. Are you getting what I'm saying? If a person dies and the government said that the person has not died, that person has not died, even though the person is already perishing. Why? Because when someone dies, the issue, what they call death certificate. That's how powerful the government is. The passport we carry, those of us who travel, those of you who travel, and everybody that will be traveling, when you get home, go and read what is written on the first page of your passport. That passport is a property of the government, the federal government, or the government of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. I took it with my money. Yeah, I paid. Yes, you paid your money, but you didn't issue the passport yourself. Did you issue it in your room? Are you following me, church? So when the government comes against you, it's a serious matter. That was what Timothy was facing at the time. It was a serious persecution. So he wrote a letter to his father in the Lord. What am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? This is too much for me. And he was crying. He drenched that letter with his tears. Now, he wrote it to Paul, the apostle. You would assume that Paul was probably somewhere in America having a great time, eating pizza and enjoying milkshake, Papa John's pizza, and then milkshake from Burger King. And he was thinking of going to IHOP somewhere in Maryland to go and get some pancakes. They make some of the finest pancakes in America. You would think that Paul was sleeping in a 5-star hotel, being attended to by all manner of people, and they were making his meals, and they were no. Paul was in prison at the time that Timothy wrote him this letter. If Timothy had had his way, he wouldn't have written the letter. But for you to know that he was so desperate, he needed someone to talk to. Hey, the Bible says, woe to him that is alone in the day of trouble. May you have someone to turn to when tire hits the road. I've been there. I had to go to my father in the Lord one time and say, Papa, pray for me. I said, you know, I've never been here to kneel down to ask for prayer. He said, yes, I know, son. I said, but this one is almost getting too much for me. Fathers are for covering. Paul himself, that Timothy wrote for succor, for comfort, was in trouble. They had given him the day they were going to behead him. He had been told. He was in prison already. He was just getting ready for his execution. Just for the date to arrive and they will pick him and go and kill him. Now, if you're in that kind of situation and somebody is now writing you for encouragement, will you not send a curse? Abaye. Well, look, face your life. If you can't do the ministry again, walk away. That would have been the carnal response, but not Paul the apostle. When a man has encountered Christ, he's a different being altogether. That's why my greatest prayer for everybody that comes to this church is that on your own, and of course when you do come, that you encounter Christ. Can I have an amen? Amen. Lord, 5 people said amen. You don't kill a dead man. Paul was already dead. Galatians 2:20. For I am crucified with... You can't be crucified and still be alive. I am crucified with Christ. You say, yet... I still live. But the life which I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I'm asking you, church, this morning, does Christ live in you? Why would you say a prayer and you haven't got an answer and because of that you backslide? Because God didn't supply your school fees. God has not given you a husband yet. You need to put the word yet after at the back of every prayer request. For Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So what was Paul's response? Paul's response is what you read in that 2 Timothy from verse 1. Paul began to, first of all, tell Timothy, son, the faith that is in your grandmother Lois is quite commendable. What a woman of faith. God bless the grandmothers who know how to pray. He said the same faith was in your mother, Eunice. And I perceive that the same faith is in operation in you. Son, you are to stir up the gift of God that is in you which came by the laying on of my hands. And in verse 7, he reminded him. He says, son, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us. I can see that you are living in fear, but God has not given us the spirit of fear. He said, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The way you are talking, you are in depression. You are beginning to lose your mind. Anxiety disorder has set in. I understand there are challenges all around you. I understand every day your life is coming under a threat. But I want you to know that you carry something on the inside of you. The gift, the gift, the gift. And I want you to stir up the gift. And what is that gift? The gift of the Holy Ghost. Can I have an amen? Stir him up. Stir up the gift. Don't look outside for consolation. Don't look outside for help. The help you need is on the inside of you. I'm in prison right now. I can't come to pray with you or pray for you. The helper is on your inside. Tear him up. Can I shock you, Expression House? Your future is not in the hands of any human being. Your future is in you. I've believed in the concept of when I get to the future. I'm going to be 44 in August. When I was 17, I thought the future would be, by the time I turn 40, that's future. Abi? I'm looking at 50 already now. What future am I talking about? You know, I will become this, I will become that. You emerge from the inside. God taught us that through the seed principle. When you look at a seed, what do you see? Something dry, not really very nice. It's just a seed. No. That's a forest in the making. That's that thing you call a seed has the capacity to produce a forest. If you have ever seen the picture, these are the days of Google and internet. After service today, Google the picture of an oak tree. An oak tree is a mighty tree. But if you go back and check what produces an oak tree, which is very huge and mighty, you will find some seed called acorns. Acorns are little, little acorns. You are in your seed form now. So it has not yet appeared what you will be like a couple of years down the line. But you already have the potential. And everything you need to become the mighty oak tree is locked up on the inside of you right now. Can I have an amen? Look, stop fighting your uncles. My uncle has not helped me. That's why I'm like this. I have an uncle in government house. Shut up, that rascality. You have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. Can I have an amen to that? When they came to Jesus in Luke 17, 20 to 21, they said, when is the kingdom of God coming? He said, the kingdom of God does not come by observation. Neither will they say to you, lo here, nor lo there. He said, for the kingdom of God is where? Within you, is within you, is within you. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost is within you. External circumstances may not be palatable from time to time. Yes, we understand. It happens to all of us. We are not all happy 24/7. I understand that. But we have joy 24/7. Can I have an amen? Because joy is the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't leave you. Galatians 5:22. Now the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and so on and so forth. Let me begin to preach now. Do you like my introduction? Mark 11 is what I want to preach. So I'm about to start. So my 45 minutes starts now. Don't worry, I'm just joking. I have 35 minutes to go. Mark 11, and I'm going to be in verse 11. But are you blessed already? And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Did he say a word? Did he speak a word? Verse 11 that we just read now. Let's read it again. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, we don't know what time he entered Jerusalem, but now it was there till evening. And now the eventide was come. He went out unto Bethany with the 12. Did he say a word? He just entered into Jerusalem, and then he came into the temple. And he looked. He looked. This is good for preaching. He looked. He looked. He looked. The Bible says he looked round. When he had looked round about, upon how many things? If there were fans in the temple, did Jesus check them out? Come and talk to me. Put on your thinking cap. All things. All things means? All things. When he had looked round about upon how many things? All things. He didn't say a word to anybody. And in the evening, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. What lesson can we learn from that verse? It's not every time you talk. Jesus said in John 14:10, do you believe I'm in the Father and the Father in me? At least for the work's sake, you should believe. The words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. But the Father that dwells in me, he does the work or the works. I don't just speak. I hear my Father, then I speak. So on that occasion, when he came into the temple, he didn't hear the Father say anything. And he therefore didn't say anything. Today we have ministers who always want to say everything, plus what they don't know, plus what the Holy Ghost is not saying. And that's why they've made prophecies upon Nigeria, and it has fallen on their head, because they said what God did not authorize. Towards the election, the last election that brought the current president in, a minister stood up in his congregation and said the president that was outgoing was number 14. Those of you that know politics, you probably know better than me now. He said, but he would be number 15 president of Nigeria. Well, he's president of his ministry. Not president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. Why do people say things that they never heard God say? People get up on the pulpit and say, in 3 days' time, I tell you, in fact, you will just get a new car in 3 days' time. If they don't say 3 days, they say 7 days. Nobody prophesies and says in 1 day or in 2 days, because maybe those numbers are not spiritual. Or like number 4 is not spiritual, number 5 not spiritual. Rubbish. And I'm teaching you young people, never open your mouth to say anything that the Lord has not said. Don't say it in the name of the Lord. If it occurs to you, but you are not sure, you can say, well, I have an impression in my heart. I have, I don't want to say a feeling, but I have an impression. Do you know even the apostle said, it seemed good both to the Holy Ghost and to us. It seemed good. Don't walk up to somebody and give them a prophecy that God has not shown you. A young man came to this church some time ago. Somebody introduced him to me and he said he had a lot of problems. In his church, he was the administrator. He lost his job. He wanted another job. Well, we don't have vacancy here. He said, well, the Lord led him here to worship here. The Lord led you? Okay, worship. We'll see. I've seen people like that time and time again. The Lord led you. We shall see if the Lord led you indeed or not. The first Sunday service, he was here. After service, he walked up to me in my office and said, sir, as you were praying for the people, you called out people. The Lord showed me something about that lady Esther. I said, how did you know Esther? It's your first time. And he said, well, during the discipleship class, you know, oh, Esther was one of our teachers. Esther Onina, Dr. Esther Ajekigbe, who now lives in the U.S., married. This was a few months to our wedding. The young man said, the Lord showed me something. I said, what did the Lord show you? He said, the Lord showed me. She had a garment on her. And there was smoke coming from the garment. You know, when a dream is becoming like that of Nebuchadnezzar, I'm always very weary. And there was smoke and there was fire. And I said, so what does it mean? Because I don't know if I have the gift of interpretation of dreams. And he said, it's like shame, something shameful. I said, forget about that one. I said, I hope you have not gone to her to tell her. I said, no. I must obey spiritual protocol. That's why I came to you. I knew he would not last in this church. This church is too toxic for such carnality. I didn't see him again after a few Sundays. Then he showed up in my office. I said, where are you now? I said, the Lord led me to CCI. I said, glory to God. Go and trouble them some over there. The next time I saw him, where are you now? He said, I'm just shortening between CCI and one that go. I said, you're a rolling stone that gathers no moss. He was from house on the rock to the stone church. Rock, stone, same thing. Singing what God has not commanded. Who is it that speaks and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? Esther is living fine in the U.S. with her husband. And we live in a generation where anybody can walk up to you and give you a prophecy in school. Shandala Bahaya. My brother, sorry. Thus saith the Lord. I am not saying that every prophecy is false. But the Bible does say to test all spirits. And can I tell you what? If anybody gives you a prophecy, including PFE, if I give you a prophecy and it does not align with the written word of God, trash it down. Can I have an amen? That's free of charge for you. Don't be saying what God has not said. If you're not sure, pray until you're sure. Don't say. Don't try to let people see that you are a spiritual person. Because you are always saying that. The Holy Spirit told me that. The Holy Spirit said that. Be careful. You give account for every inoperative word that you speak. Be very careful. Be extremely careful. And we're in a generation where people don't read their Bible. They quote men of God. This generation. Read your Bible. Let me go on quickly. Verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. 9 words. And his disciples heard it. And they come to Jerusalem. Now, notice, when Jesus spoke those words, his disciples heard it. So he didn't speak quietly. And they come to Jerusalem and Jesus went into the temple. Remember, he had been to the temple before. He looked about, round about, upon all things. He didn't say a word. Now, they have come back into the temple. And then Jesus began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple. And overthrew the tables of the money changers, they borrowed the change, and the seats of them that sold doves. And would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught. His mission was to teach. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Jesus was quoting Isaiah. Isaiah 56 and verse 7. My house shall be called the house of prayer. My house shall be called the house of prayer. Any church that is not praying is already rotting from the head. When fish is going to spoil, fish spoils from the head. If there is going to be a decay in your spiritual life, it's going to start from your prayer place. If you're a Christian who doesn't see a big deal in not praying, brother, sister, you are not doing well. Prayer will help your word study. You will quickly understand the scriptures if you really pray, especially praying in the Holy Ghost. You're rising today, falling tomorrow, rising today, dealing with the flesh, and then calling it grace is because you don't pray. We suffer a lot because we don't pray. I pray here 3 to 5 every Monday afternoon. I don't care whether you come or not. I pray. And I'm not asking God for bread and butter. Those who have come, they know. We pray 2 hours in the Holy Ghost. No singing in between. We just pray. And I do beyond that. But just to provide an atmosphere. When we prayed last Thursday, did we see the move of God or not? People prayed here like house on fire. No, nobody cared about anybody. I shook that chair so much, I think that chair has spoiled now. My chair. So Falake asked me earlier why I changed seats, because that thing was going down. And I didn't want to fall inside the service. This is the anointing. It's not anointing. Chair has spoiled. Amen. Look, there is nothing in your life that cannot change through the instrumentality of prayer. The way Jesus prayed, he didn't pray gentlemanly prayer. Hebrews 5:7 gives us a clear picture of the way Jesus prayed, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. That was how Jesus prayed. That's how I pray now. I caught that from our father in the faith. When you see Baba praying now, you would think this man is just 42. Whether he's sitting or standing, whatever posture, when you see him praying, my God, the whole body is vibrating. Your body must be involved. Oh, but we're praying in the spirit. Let's just, in the spirit. The spirit is housed in the body. And do you know that everything you do in the body affects your spirit? Oh, no, it was my body that committed fornication with that lady, not my spirit. So my spirit is pure and clean. My body committed fornication. If that lady got pregnant and she gave birth to a child, that would be a product of fornication. Shall the world say, oh, that product is the product of your body? Your spirit and soul, not involved. Whatever you do in the flesh affects your spirit. Don't listen to those people who don't know what they are. They don't know the exegesis of the scriptures. They don't know what they are exegeting. They have no clue. They are confused. They are confused. Almost everything we do, we start in the flesh, including prayer. Prayer starts in the flesh. Father, in the name of Jesus. This is me kneeling down and lifting my hand. Is that my spirit? It's my body. Some pray that way. Some will lie down on the floor. And then you open your mouth and begin to talk. It starts in the flesh. But it gets to a point where the spiritual angle to it, what is called the spiritual dimension, will catch up with it. It is that which is physical first before that which is spiritual. So at a point, the spiritual catches up with it, and you're praying and you're cruising and you're building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying the Holy Ghost according to Jude 1:20. And your prayer begins to affect your life, and it begins to come back to produce results in the physical. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? You begin to understand your books more. You begin to have favor with people more. You begin to have more jobs coming in. You begin to have more favor with people. And you're wondering, what's going on? As you keep praying, now listen, it starts in the flesh. It is taken up in the spirit. Then answers come from the spirit, and they come back into the physical. Somebody is sick, and you minister Christ to them. And they say, well, Christ, my Lord and my Savior, I receive him. Everything they're doing is in the physical. Then it goes into the spirit. And you pray with them and they catch it up and they receive their healing in the spirit. Healing in the spirit must come to the flesh for us to see that you're healed. Can I have an amen to that? And then they get up from their sick bed. Are you with me, church? Are you getting what I'm saying, church? So where did you get that rascality from? It's my flesh that committed that sin. I'm introducing this subject today, so don't worry at all. I won't go beyond the time stipulated. I'm introducing it. And I've not even told you the title of my preaching yet. Very intentional. Don't worry. I know you really want to write. But follow me as I follow Christ. Jesus said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. He said, but you have made it a den of thieves. I can't seem to overcome that scripture for a lack of better word. A house that is supposed to be a house of prayer, when you don't pray in that house will become a den of thieves. If you fast forward to 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6, 2 Corinthians 6, the Bible says that your body is the temple, the house of the Holy Spirit. You are the house of prayer. I am the house of prayer. If the house of prayer does not offer prayers, this house of prayer will become a den of thieves. A Christian who doesn't pray will do badly. You will steal from your office, and you won't be able to stop stealing. And you will know, are there not Christians who are stealing? Are there not Christians who have stolen Nigeria blind? The Buhari administration exposed many of them. And every time I heard the name in the news, I was ashamed on their behalf. A particular woman, they said she was trained by Capro. Capro believers, they are not like us. Rural, rugged, that's what they do. They go to the villages, they go on missions. They go places where average pastors don't want to go, where average believers don't want to go, where there is no water to preach the gospel. Can you now imagine someone who has gone through that kind of training now becoming a minister in this country? And her bra alone can build a university. They don't wear those things. They use them to steal money and keep money and store money. A Christian. Money meant to provide basic amenities for about 200 million people. And you steal that and keep it away. You wonder why Nigeria is the way Nigeria is. Money for universal basic education. Somebody will take it to Dubai to go and buy a whole estate. In how many rooms can you sleep in one night? You are mad if you are sleeping in 5 rooms in the night. Even two rooms in the night. You sleep here for 3 hours, you wake up, go to the other room. Are you normal? How many shirts? Can you imagine Pastor wearing this now this morning? Can you imagine me wearing all the native attires I have? Service. I just want to prove to you guys I have more than one. If I wear another one on top of this one, it must be Agbada. That's acceptable in our clan. The Onyibos don't understand it. They call it parachute. But if I wear another type of this type, this design, you guys say, Auntie IJ, I hope all is well with Pastor. No, you can't. Your mouth is not big enough to say that. But you will find a way to say, Abi. Bro, Paul, did you see Pastor this morning? Or if I try to wear 2 shoes, how much do we really need as Christians? House of prayer. Somebody say, I am the house of prayer. I'll speak more to that in the days to come in this series. I'm teaching faith now. And I will prove to you that people of faith are actually people of prayer. Your faith is not complete if you say, well, I'm a faith man. I don't pray much. I don't know where you got that from. I will show you faith people in the Bible and how they prayed. And they got results. Next verse. And the scribes and the chief, verse 18, and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from where? From where? The roots. I'm doing a bit of teaching this morning. I want you to follow me keenly. Jesus spoke to the fig tree yesterday, and today they were passing by. They saw that the tree had dried up, not from the leaves. The leaves were probably still chilling. But they saw dryness from the roots. And if the roots dry up, it's only a matter of time. The branches will dry up. The leaves will dry up. Do you agree with me? What does this tell us? When you have a situation in your life, for example, maybe sickness, a sickness in your body, and you speak the word of God over it. For example, 1 Peter 2:24 or Isaiah 53 in verse 5. You stand on the healing scripture and you apply it to that situation. More often than not, we don't see instantaneous results. Is that right? Don't be discouraged. The word has gone to the root of the matter. The word of God does not attack the leaves. The word of God always goes to the root of the situation. And because the root is usually hidden in the sand, in the soil, it is not obvious to the eyes. So when you apply the word of God to your life and you don't have an obvious change in your circumstance yet, you are not supposed to give up on God and say, my faith is not working. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? Because that word you have released has gone to the root of the situation. That's where it all matters, the root. How many Christians have given up 3 years after they believed God for something? On the very verge of their breakthrough, on the verge of a new day, on the verge of seeing a miracle, many have turned away. Just got tired. I tried that faith thing, it didn't work. I tried that word of God thing, it didn't work. No, the word of God tried you, you didn't work. You should have stayed. You must have what is called staying power. The darkest night will still turn into the dawn of a new day if you have staying power. There is no circumstance too big for God to turn around. Nothing. Nothing intimidates God. He is God. That's why he's God. You think anything will happen and it will freak God out? Come on, Michael. What's going on around here? I don't know what to do. Michael, come and advise me. Never. Never. In fact, angels are not permitted to speak their own words. They speak only what God tells them to speak. Angels. Angels. If Jesus said, I don't speak my word, so who are angels to speak their own words? The first angel that tried it, his name is Lucifer. He tried to speak his own words. He manufactured words. Gathered some of them together in heaven. I will arise, Isaiah 14, verses 13 and 14. I will now arise above the stars of the Almighty. I will set up my throne there. I will do this. I will do that. I will be like the Almighty. That day, immediately finishing that, he heard a voice from the Almighty. No, never. You go down today and right now. That was the day he lost his estate. And all the angels that were in that meeting with him, agreed with him. That's why you should be careful the kind of meeting you attend. Sometimes you have not even talked because the Bible didn't say they talked. But they went in the wrong meeting. They went down with him. The company you keep will determine what will accompany you. It's not a motivational tip. It's a truth rooted in the word of God. God called Abraham, Genesis 12, verses 2, 3, 4, 5, and Lot went with him. By Genesis 13, God had blessed Abraham and Lot also that went with him. Genesis 13, verse 5. The company you keep determines what accompanies you. The Yorubas have a balance. They say, agutan to babajani ajegbe. Normally, an agutan is a lamb. Does not eat feces. In street language, shit. But if he walks with a dog for so long, Now, you guys don't understand that dogs eat feces. Because your own dogs don't. They eat balanced diet. They eat better than other human beings. They eat good meat, jollof, patty jollof. You put milk in their pap. First time I saw that in my uncle's house, I wanted to slap the dog. When last did I taste milk? A dog tasting milk. On a more serious note, the company you keep determines what accompanies you. James, Peter, and John kept company consistently with the master. Go and look at their ministries. Signs and wonders followed exactly like that of the master. Peter raised Dorcas like a knife through butter. No stress. Put everybody out. Knelt down. Prayed over her. Got her up. The same way Jesus in Mark 5 raised the daughter of Jairus. Same method. Same thing. Same thing. The same anointing rubbed off on him. Peter was even walking in Jerusalem. His shadow. They put people within his shadow length. They got up. Not even the master did that. Because Jesus said, he that believes in me, John 14, he that believes, the works that I do, they shall do even greater works than this shall they do. Don't tell me the company you keep doesn't matter. All your friends are aristo girls. You are an aristo yourself by extension. Because someday you will be broke in your finances, which is normal. It happens. But daddy ain't broke. Instead of going to daddy, you go to your friends. And they say, do what we do. Can't give you fried chicken. Use what you got. Get what you want. Because those are your friends. Imagine you're surrounded by believers and you are broke. Everybody may even be broke. The suggestion to go and do one night stand will not come. The only suggestion that will come is, come on, let's praise God. And nobody will protest because you know this is our kingdom. This is what we do. And before the end of the praise session, somebody knocks on the door and hands you guys a pack of food. Praise continues. That's the way it works in this kingdom. Can I have an amen? If you want to keep begging people for your needs, go begging. But it doesn't glorify your daddy, who is not broke. Pastor Mrs. Yinkadeyemi reminded me at the Bible study on Wednesday, last Wednesday at the adult church. She said on the altar, I think this is an expression house saying. Expression house people normally say, daddy ain't broke. I said, my God, even we have dropped that confession. We shouldn't drop it. We go back there because daddy ain't broke. He ain't broke. Daddy ain't broke. He got us the chairs. He ain't broke. Yes, I told my wife, I said, in this economy, even when things were a lot cheaper, we didn't buy. My God, but in this economy, to show you he ain't broke. He ain't broke. Tell your neighbor, say, daddy ain't broke. And so if you're a daughter or a son of daddy, you shouldn't be. I've got 7.5 minutes left. I'm going to shock some people this morning. The pastor is going to keep to time. You need to be born again. You know, I'm still reading my Bible. I've not started preaching yet. But I'm not going to preach it beyond what I'm doing already. I'm already teaching it. Are you with me, church? So the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter was always talking. Very outspoken brother. Where's Peter Cash? See, Peter in the Bible was always talking. So always speak the word of God. Amen? And Peter calling to remembrance said unto him. Everybody was passing by, but Peter said, Master! He said, yes. It's not written in my Bible. Behold! Behold means look and consider. The fig tree which thou cursed, King James cursest. My King James cursest, cursedest, cursedest. Because Baba Fikora cursed. No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. He received the word of the Lord. And started behaving itself from the root. Okay, sir. The only thing the tree could do was to say, sir, yes, sir. And it began to die. When you speak the word of God to your situation, it must obey you. It must say, sir, yes, sir. Just like God. By his stripes I am healed. By the stripes of Jesus I am healed. Now you pain, get out of my body. Do it now in the name of Jesus. And the pain says, sir, yes, sir. You still have the pain, but it has obeyed you from the roots in the spirit. But 3 hours after, the pain has not gone down. Well, this thing does not work. Nyem paracetamol there, please. And then you short circuit the process. You abort your faith. Many of us have aborted our miracles. In church, faith is very high. Outside the gate there, how you doing? Well, you can see. See my life. We bought pepper yesterday, 500 naira, only 4. That's 125 naira per pepper. Where is this country going? And you join them to say, I don't know how anybody will survive now. I don't know how I'm going to survive. I don't know how I'm going to live my life. I don't know how I'm going to pay my house rent. My house rent is about to do. But in church, we are blessed and highly favored. Outside church, we don't know. But I thought you said you were blessed in church. Yes, in church, we are blessed spiritually. It should translate into physically. Can I have an amen? Peter was surprised. It was yesterday you cursed it. Overnight, it has obeyed your word and is dried up from the root. If I were Jesus, I would gloat a little bit. Thank God I'm not Jesus, but I'm like him now. Becoming like him. Hallelujah. And I put my hand in my pocket. Are you listening to me? And I put my hands in my pocket. And I'd have said, well, you know, you got to believe I'm the Son of God. If you don't believe I'm the Son of God, I'm going to ask you to start drying up from your legs now. Just bust a little bit, man. Like, I'm the Son of God. All the angels listen to me. They got to listen. Listen up. Maybe Michael came in. I think Michael came overnight and chopped off the roots. And that's why it's dried now. Jesus didn't answer in the flesh. Jesus' response is the title of my message. Today you are getting the title at the end of the message. And Jesus answering saith unto them. Before I go there, I want to remind you that Jesus actually answered the fig tree first in verse 12. Go to verse 12, then come back to verse 22. Media, please. On the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Yeah. And seeing the fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Yes. And Jesus answered and said unto it. What's the it there? The tree. The tree must have spoken. Jesus answered. The tree was a deception. Jesus came close to it because Baba was hungry. And the tree said, not today. That's what the tree did. Every adverse situation in our lives tries to mock our God. Say, where's your God? But I thought you said you're a believer. Not today, Abby. And Jesus answered and said unto it, every pain in your body is saying something. You also must say something. Don't let your situation have the last say. You must have the last say from the word of God. Can I have an amen? Amen. Answer that growth in your body. Answer that condition in your blood. Answer that thing moving in your head. We had the testimony of Victor last week. Says something was moving in his head. Nothing should be moving there. It's not a playground. Answer your situation. Your situation is asking, where is your God? Where is your God? Where is your God? Brother, brother, Fola, brother. Brother Daniel, you play the keyboard every service. Where is your God now? Look at your GP. Look at your finances. Where is your God? You try to apply for that contract or for that scholarship and they didn't pick you. Where is your God? Answer back. Answer back. Answer, answer, answer. Don't keep quiet. In our faith, we speak. Can I have an amen to that? Only we speak the word of God. Goliath spoke when he saw David, 1 Samuel 17. David spoke back. David didn't keep going and say, oh, wow, giant has spoken. Lord, have mercy. I didn't know this guy was this big. Tell the king, he can keep the reward for anybody that kills him. I'm going back to my father's house. And he would have run away. But he spoke and David spoke back. He spoke and David spoke back. I counted those words. I can't give you the accurate figure right now, but I can give you like an idea. Imagine Goliath spoke about 30 words and David spoke about 113 words. David kept speaking. You have come to me. Goliath spoke first. He looked at the guy and despised and disdained him. Have you come? Do you think I'm a dog that you have come to me with catapults and stones? Hear! And he called on his God underneath the earth. He didn't look up. He looked down. I swear by Ashtaroth, I am going to kill you. David said, oh, no, David said, you have come against me with swords and staves and spears and arrows and whatever you got. But I am come against you in the name of El Elohe Israel, God, the God of Israel, whom you defy. And may I let you know, Mr. Defeated Goliath, that this day will I cut off you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill, K-I-L-L. Slay is kill. Don't be a slayer. Don't be a slay queen. Don't be killing people. I'm going to kill you and I'm going to take off your head, off your neck, and I'm going to give you a carcass and the carcasses of the armies of Philistines. One man, one man. Those words were big. The man talking that he will take off his head, he didn't even have a sword. You don't take off somebody's head with bare hands. He was speaking prophetically. He ended up using the sword of Goliath to cut the head of Goliath. Heaven backed up those words. He kept speaking. He kept talking until Goliath was messed up. He looked at himself and said, yeah, am I the one this man is talking? No, there's a way somebody talks to you and you look. So before he could gain stability, fear, the thing hit him on the head. Pah! One. But you, oh God, I have to stop. Glory be to God. So, Jesus. Pastor, I thought you said you have to stop. Jesus answering, saith unto them, have faith in God. Stand on your feet, everybody. Have you learned something this morning? So this is like a class now. Going to have this class throughout the month of June. And by the way, God will be doing new things in your life this month. Isaiah 43:19, behold, I will do a new thing and it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? God said he's going to make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Can I have an amen to that? Run with those words. I don't know what you need that is new. Whatever, anything that you need that is new, a new job, a new opening somewhere, a new client. Some of you that do business, it's not all the clients you need. It's just one client with a good offer that opens the door to many others. Can I have an amen? I did a job for a client yesterday in the evening. And there was a particular man in this government that had been trying to, I'd met him before, and he wanted to give me something to do for him, but I had to go to England 3 years ago. Since that time, I'd not seen the man again, and I didn't have his phone number. He took my card, but he didn't call, because the time he needed me, I told him I was going to be away to England, and I was away. I've been thinking, do I use my connections to get this man? I said, no, I just want God to make it happen. I saw him last night, walked up to him, reminded him, he gave me a hug. Where have you been? All right, can I have your number, sir? Oh, yeah, sure, give me your phone. Pum, pum, he punched his number into my phone. God will do a new thing in your life. See, it's one of the things I'll be teaching you next week is that I want to teach you biblical facts about faith. In this kingdom, it is unto every man according to your faith. It's according to your faith, oh. Pastor, what about this sickness in my body? My response to you this morning is, have faith in God. Pastor, you don't get it. The doctors have given me their report. Thank God for the doctors. My response is, have faith in God. Pastor, what about the trouble in my family? My dad and mom, they're going through issues and I don't understand. Have faith in God. Pastor, you don't know what is going on in my place of work. They are persecuting me and I don't, things I didn't do. They're lying against me. Have faith in God. Pastor, I came to church on an empty stomach this morning. I don't know what we're going to eat when I get back home. Have faith in God. Don't know what is going on in my relationship right now. Things are not going on well. Have faith in God. Pastor, am I going to ever get married? I'm 29. I'm 35. No man has shown up. The people who show up want to sleep with me. And I'm saying no, and they're walking away. What am I going to do? Have faith in God. Amen. Faith in God answers it all. Father, we thank you this morning. You have really helped us. And we are grateful. We connect to your power this morning by faith. I don't care how dark the situation may be in the lives of your children. But by faith, I decree this morning, like you have said to me, that you will do something new. I decree a new thing will be done. A door closed before somebody, and you're trying to force that door open. You know what I just saw now? I saw that God opened a new door, completely different from the one... And it's a bigger door, and it's a better door. It has a whole lot of better opportunities for you than the one you're currently pursuing that just shut down. Have faith in God. Because it will happen. You will come back to this house and testify. I don't know who I've spoken to this morning, but I've spoken to somebody. It will happen. In fact, I also see a job situation. I see a job situation. And in that job situation, God said, I'm doing a new thing. They may think it's a demotion. You may even assume it's a demotion. But God said it's a setup for a bigger comeback. I am doing a new thing. Thank you, Father. We honor you and we praise you. Blessed be your holy name. Is anyone in this service?